We'll just make a quick copy. It won't take that long.
Okay.
2 tickets to the matinee, 1 adult and 1 child.
Is your child under 12?
Yes. Yes, she is.
What? Mom, I'm 13.
She's 11.
Here are your tickets, ma'am. 1 child and 1 adult.
Thank you.
I can't believe you did that.
What's on TV tonight?
Why don't we watch that new gangster series?
Isn't that a little violent for the family?
Well, the kids can handle it. I'm sure they've seen a lot worse in school. Anyway, I've heard a lot about this program.
When you compromise your integrity to save money or view programs you shouldn't, your children are watching. What kind of character are your children learning from you? A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
National sovereignty, and there's a piece here today from the paper. Actually, it was from yesterday's paper, from the Associated Press, Dateline London. Finance ministers from the group of seven industrial nations said Saturday that they were willing to provide up to 100% debt relief to the world's poorest nations, but insisted that developing countries should ensure the money would be spent wisely. The headline, by the way, was G7 willing to provide debt relief for poor nations. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the refinancing of the taking of money out of the developed countries and redistributing it to the developing countries as a part of the United Nations system. The headline of this piece, by the way, G7 willing to provide debt relief to poor nations. The date, by the way, today is February 7, 2005. Thanks for joining us tonight as I'm a little late getting on the air. For some reason, there was a problem with the phone line, the main line at the network. I don't know why I couldn't get through, but at any rate, it's good to have you joining us today. They continue here. They say, Britain's Treasury Chief Gordon Brown said at the close of the G7 summit in London that debt relief would be agreed upon by a case-by-case basis. We're talking about debt relief for the impoverished countries, ladies and gentlemen. He said discussions would continue on financing mechanisms to increase overseas development assistance. At its April meeting, the International Monetary Fund would examine a proposal to reevaluate its gold supplies to finance debt relief. Britain has made tackling poverty in Africa and the developing world a priority for its presidency of the G8, the Group of Seven plus Russia, and says the goals of the UN's 2000 Millennium Summit to tackle by 2015 the poverty, hunger, and disease affecting billions of people will not be met without urgent action. Following a two-day meeting in London, G7 finance ministers said developing countries must have, quote, sound, accountable, and transparent institutions, unquote, and develop policies for poverty reduction and sustained economic growth. The communique issued at the close of the conference noted that corruption in poor countries was a, quote, significant barrier to growth, private sector development, investment, and poverty reduction, end quote. In return, wealthy nations were committed to energizing the round of trade talks launched in Doha, Qatar in 2001 that aimed to slash subsidies, tariffs, and other barriers to global commerce and to use trade to help poor nations, the communique said. This is the communique being quoted here. It says, quote, we are agreed on a case-by-case basis analysis of HIPC, and that is heavily indebted poor countries, based on our willingness to provide as much as 100% multilateral debt relief, said the communique. Brown hailed the summit as a success, saying that for the first time, a G7 communique had specifically tackled the issues of development aid and debt relief. However, he failed to secure full backing for a new financing mechanism that would raise $50 billion a year on the world capital markets to boost development aid. The United States said it could not sign up to the proposed international finance facility as it did not meet the U.S. budgetary framework. Instead, the G7 finance ministers agreed on a work program to examine the IFF and other aid proposals ahead of the G8 summit later in the year. So there you have the article, the G7 willing to provide debt relief to poor nations as the redistribution of wealth from the developed countries continues under the UN system for sustainable development called Agenda 21. In Agenda 21, Chapter 3, we have a full chapter titled Combating Poverty. And this ties perfectly with what we see in this article from yesterday's newspaper. The Agenda 21, Chapter 3, under the heading of management-related activities, it says, governments, with the assistance of and in cooperation with appropriate international, non-governmental, and local community organizations, should establish measures that will directly or indirectly, A, generate remunerative employment and productive occupational opportunities compatible with country-specific factor endowments on a scale sufficient to take care of prospective increases in the labor force and to cover backlogs. B, now listen to this, folks. With international support, where's that support going to come from? That's right, it's going to come from you. With international support, where necessary, develop adequate infrastructure, marketing systems, technology systems, credit systems, and the like, and the human resources needed to support the above actions and to achieve a widening of options for resource-poor people. In other words, we have good old-fashioned democratic redistribution of the wealth. They say high priority should be given to basic education and professional training. And it goes on and on and on and on and on because this is a full chapter and that's just one small paragraph of it. But ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations system is a system of socialized democracy. We're spreading democracy around the world as the president, the illustrious president of the United States, gave his State of the Union address this past week, which is enough to make you want to, well, lose your lunch, if you'll pardon my crudeness. And in his State of the Union, and I always wonder, what union is he talking about? Is he talking about the union of states that our founding fathers started? Or is he talking about the union of nation states that they're trying to build? You know, when they always say the State of the Union is strong, what union is he talking about? The one they're trying to build or the one we've had for over 200 years? At any rate, he said, he repeatedly talks about democracy. What is democracy, ladies and gentlemen? That's the question you need to ask as we're spreading it around the world. Democracy. And there was a Freedom 21 conference back a while ago, and this Freedom 21 document I want to bring up in a moment, and maybe I'll get to that later on in the hour. as right now I want to share some information with you about democracy, because we talk about democracy on this broadcast repeatedly about it being socialism. And certainly we've read the quotes in the past, and we can do that again, from various people who have commented about democracy. Democracy is not the American form of government. And Mikhail Gorbachev in Perestroika, New Thinking for Our Country and the World, 1988, he said, quote, "It's my conviction that the human race has entered a stage where we are all dependent on each other." Well, first of all, folks, I want to interrupt him by saying this. Why are we dependent upon each other? When did this start? Why is the United States, once the world's wealthiest nation, why would the United States be dependent upon anyone? Unless it was designed to be that way by people who are dedicated to its destruction. That's the number one question you need to ask yourself. If the United States of America is dependent upon anyone, why is it dependent upon someone else, another country? But he says, "It's my conviction that the human race has entered a stage where we are all dependent on each other. No other country or nation should be regarded in total separation from another, let alone pitted against another. That's what our communist vocabulary calls internationalism, and it means promoting universal human values. What do we have throughout the entire United Nations Agenda 21 document and all of the UN's writings, by the way? What do we have at the State Department as they continually comment about foreign affairs? Universal human rights. We have the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we have the implementation of human rights treaties, which is Executive Order 13107. All of this dedication to universal human rights, universal human values. This is what we're talking about when we talk about democracy. What are universal human values? See, whose values are we talking about here? As we are talking about the communist vocabulary and internationalism. He continues, he says, quote, "I would like to be clearly understood. We, the Soviet people, are for socialism. We want more socialism and therefore more democracy." Again, we're quoting Mikhail Gorbachev from Perestroika, New Thinking for Our Country and the World, 1988. He says, quote, "We will proceed toward better socialism rather than away from it. We are saying this honestly without trying to fool our own people or the world. And he hopes that we will begin to build a different non-socialist society and go over to the other camp are unrealistic and futile. Those in the West who expect us to give up socialism will be disappointed." In the New York Times, 1989, the New York Times quoted Mikhail Gorbachev as saying, quote, "I am a communist, a convinced communist. For some, that may be a fantasy. To me, it is my main goal." And again, in Perestroika, New Thinking for Our Country and the World, 1988, Mikhail Gorbachev says, quote, "Those who hope that we shall move away from the socialist path will be greatly disappointed. Every part of our program of Perestroika," and Perestroika means restructuring. What do we have going on in the world today, folks? We have restructuring. "Every part of our program of Perestroika is fully based on the principles of more socialism and more democracy." Ladies and gentlemen, when the president gets on television and tells you that he is spreading democracy, that our goal is democracy, he is a closet communist. We all have to realize that, or we're going to be deceived. We're going to be doomed to spend a lifetime operating within the dialectic of the controllers. I'm going to skip the next one because, okay, here's one for you from the world, from worldsocialism.org. It says, quote, "Central to the meaning of socialism is common ownership. Common ownership. This means the resources of the world being owned in common by the entire global population. In practice, common ownership will mean everybody having the right to participate in decisions on how global resources will be used.